You're listening to Wednesday Wonders on the Mutual Audio Network. Be amazed.
The following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
Steward? Oh, steward. Yes, you. Please tell the pilot not to make this plane any bumpier. If I have to go up there myself, I will. Wait a minute. I wouldn't be able to walk with all this turbulence. I may just have to scream. Then maybe they will know how upset this is making me. Yes, that would do just fine.
I'm sure the pilots are doing all they can to make this a stress-free flight. Do you need anything to drink? We have water, soda, and red wine. Which one would you prefer?
Well, why didn't you say so, my boy? Bring me a bottle of that, please.
The bottle? I'm only allowed to bring a glass at a time.
Fine. Bring the bottle and a glass. You can sit right beside me and pour the glasses as I finish them. Yes, that sounds like a grand idea. Now off you pop.
I'm going to so get fired for this. I'll be right back.
Poor boy doesn't understand I am claustrophobic in tight spaces. And this plane qualifies in that category. There you are. See? That wasn't so hard, was it?
If I'm losing my job, I may as well join you. I brought us both a glass. Here you go. Now let me pop this bottle open.
Now that's my kind of steward. Bless you. This looks fabulous.
Yes, it does. Cheers.
By the way, my name is Laurentis Olafsson. Everyone just calls me Lars. What is your name, you delicious man, you?
Moonbase. Hope Colony. The year is 4067. Our ancestors were sent here to preserve mankind in the face of the devastation on Earth. Unbeknownst to us, Earth survived. We can never go home to that atmosphere and survive it. We are the next iteration of mankind's future. Listen to our stories as we continue to adapt to this harsh environment. The Kyleson Chronicles legacy can continue through our struggles here in space, our home.
Welcome back to the Kyleson Chronicles, the Holiday Special Part 3. I'm J.A. Babian. Jim, take it away.
Well, thanks, Jerry. I'm Jim Franck, your narrator. This is part 3 of our holiday special. In the last episode, Two Feathers and Gene Bynos were taken to Argentina for safety by the Navy. Ian, Rory, Cassie, and Steve Kirkson arrived at Hope Colony through the Scribes Passage while Rachel and Tad Johnson stayed behind in Freehold 3. Lars Olofsson has yet to be heard from. The date is December 25th, 4067, at 0800 hours. The list of casualties and those missing in action is starting to come into the Freehold. Tad Johnson is beside himself with grief as he reads the list. Rachel walks into the kitchen and finds Tad with his face in his hands, crying uncontrollably. She quietly sits down beside him.
Tad, are you okay? Why, you're grieving. What's happened to cause this?
Rachel watches as Tad brings his tablet up to the table and slowly slides it over to her. She then starts reading. Her face takes a look of horror.
Oh, my stars. This is horrible. I knew every one of these people. Has anyone else seen this?
No. I just received it from Lars Olsen just a few minutes ago. They sent it from South America.
Why in the world are they in South America? I thought Lars was in Antarctica.
They were en route to South America when the volcano erupted. Those killed were stationed near the same area doing surveys of the land and people. They're just gone. Gone! All of them! Excuse me. I had to get my voice back. According to Lars, the entire area is unstable. They're assuming some of the MIAs were underground with no communication at this time.
We can only pray they are alive and safe. How many refugees do you think are going to be coming our way? Have you heard from Phoenix Freehold yet?
I haven't got any numbers yet from Phoenix. Bobby April and his wife are busy getting those that have made it settled in. He said he should have a better idea in 48 hours. I'll discern the progress then.
Thank goodness they're there to help those poor people.
Rachel, the devastation to the affected area is bad. I need to go find out, if feasible, how extensive it is. Will you be able to handle things here?
So far, Leeds and Carey have been doing the intakes. This is huge. People are scared. They don't know what to expect at all.
Understand that, as a head scribe, you will be responsible for assigning these folks with jobs and responsibilities that need to be filled.
Oh, I'd not thought of that. This has been so rough with all that has happened. Tad, please stay long enough to help with the worst cases.
I guess I can do that, but not for long. Mercifully, this freehold can handle it up to 30,000, although I don't think we'll have that many, possibly half that number. I so wish Kessa was here. I need to get this list to Tony Homeperm.
Rachel and Tad gave each other a hug. They realized the enormity of all that lay ahead of them. Rachel watches as Tad goes out of the kitchen. She thinks of Kyle as if he were in front of her. Her thoughts are one of longing.
Kyle, I wish you were here with me. I could use your strength right about now.
Rachel shakes her head as she goes to find Bobby April. Let's turn our attention to Hope Colony and see how they are handling things. We join Walker in the med bay with his wife. The time is 1100 hours.
Delphi, how are the refugees in their transition through the passage?
So far, everyone except a few children is physically fine. Mentally, they're a mess. Trying to cope with this kind of destruction to their homes and shuffle to an unknown place has taken its toll. But a good night's sleep and some nutrition should help. It won't cure all the worries, but that's to be expected.
That's good to hear. You mentioned children being hurt. What's that about?
No one was hurt. However, some do have flu-like symptoms. This will pass in a few days. No one thought to tell them to wear coats going through the passage. Their body's core got a little cold. Like I said, they will be fine.
Okay, that makes sense. How are you holding up? Is there anything you need in the meantime?
I could use a couple of extras to help with the sterilization of equipment, and maybe some to do, you know, some laundry. That's about all I can think of. I know you're busy, so scoot! Get out of my med bay, General.
I'll get some bodies down here to help out. Give me about, let's say, 3/4 of an hour.
Walker pulled out his tablet and made notes to remind him of the request. He hurried to the scribe's passage. Ian was talking to Admiral Walker and Rory Forrester. Sounds like an interesting conversation. Let's listen in.
So far, Cassie hasn't had any problems physically. She's a little depressed from leaving her mother.
I feel for the both of you. There will be an adjustment period to get through. To be honest, I myself am a little sad missing Mom. Tad is still there along with Leech and Carrie. I'm cheerful she isn't alone.
I'm so relieved to hear that, Ian. Please forgive my disruption.
You are not interrupting. We appreciate to have a place to go from the infernal mess on Earth.
General, I believe we have another 20 groups of people coming in today from Earth. According to Ian, that should be the last of them.
Luckily, everyone's made it safe without harm. How's the exodus to Venus going?
The base commander, Rupert Trask, has taken his official position and is ready to start bringing in residents from Hope Colony. I believe that is scheduled to start tomorrow at 0900 hours.
Let me get this straight. They're set up with quarters assigned for use, Trask didn't let Mosk under his moccasins.
That's right. You haven't had much interaction with Trask. He is a force to be reckoned with as a military man. Let's just say I'm glad I'm over here, permanently.
I briefly met him. A likable soul, if I must say so. Definitely has his own way about him.
General, I'm Rory Forrester. It's nice to finally meet you.
Are your quarters adequate for you and your family?
Yes, the place is palatial. Sometimes, while in our assigned apartment, it doesn't seem like we're in space. That is until you turn off the window shields.
I can wholeheartedly agree. The first time I turned mine off, I stumbled and fell backwards over the chair behind me onto my back. It is a stunning and shocking view.
Cassie was absolutely tongue-tied, if you could imagine that.
I heard that, my love. I resemble every word of it.
General, this is my better half and wife, Cassie Robson Forrester.
It's nice to meet you. Welcome to Hope Colony. To all of you, in fact.
Thank you, sir. This baby sure has been active since we arrived. He's enjoying the buoyancy that is up here in space. However, it is upsetting my stomach a bit. Can you point me to the medical clinic?
I know where it is. I'll take you there. It was nice meeting all of you. Cassie, you ready?
Most assuredly. Jaren had shown me all kinds of things he wants to do when he arrives here on the station. Saucy little guy. Goodbye, and thank you.
Well, I'm famished. Let's go find some food.
With that declaration, Walker led everyone to the chow hall. This is a good place to take a break. I'm going to turn this over to Jerry.
We are going to take a short sponsor break. We'll be right back.
Are you in the mood for a good laugh?
Or maybe a good scream?
How about some childlike wonder?
Or a thought-provoking mystery? Then get your ears ready for a treat, because the Mutual Audio Drama Network presents shows every day for your enjoyment. Each day is a different genre featuring the talents of a huge pool of audio drama masters. Oh, and some clever comedy creators as well. Subscribe to the Mutual feed and get them all, or choose the genres you really love. You'll find the Mutual Audio Network at all your favorite places, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Ear Buddies, Podcast-O-Rama, Casting Call, Podcast, and wherever quality shows are found. Okay, I made a few of those up. Or simply go online to MutualAudioNetwork.com. And of course, it's all free. The Mutual Audio Drama Network. Listen and imagine together. Maintaining social distancing, of course.
We're back to our scheduled programming. Jim, you've got it from here.
The date is December 26th, 4067. 0520 hours, at the Venus Space Station. General Trask, Colonel Landon, and Doc Morden are in a heated debate over quarters and suins.
I say just chuck them all out the airlock.
Don had their full attention, as well as shocked them enough to shut down the argument. He continued in an angry tone.
Now that I have your undivided attention, I do believe there are more important matters to discuss. Give me that clipboard. I'll do room assignments.
Thank you, Don. That helps loads. It's been a while since I've done this sort of menial task.
Excuse me? Who exactly are you? And who the hell do you think you are in ordering us around?
If looks could kill, the mad doctor would not be standing where he's at. Spoiler alert. Dr. Jack Morden is the living duplicate of Jack the Ripper. No one knows this. Let's say a little piece of information. Rupert Trask stood up straight with his shoulders squared and knocked Morden petulantly silent with his next words.
That's enough of that! I command this station and you with it. Do you want to leave on your own, be removed, or just shut your mouth? The choice is yours! What's it going to be? Doctor.
Okay, fine. I will cut my volume. I will not speak. You should be out of my way soon anyways. Now I will acquiesce.
I will remember all you've said. Let's see how you do. My fragment on you goes like this. You stand there in your arrogance. You will remember my words. The station is now our own future and yours.
Fine, General. Have it your own way. I stand reproved, like a good old soldier.
Good! Enough of this nonsense. We have tasks to complete. Don, what needs to be done?
Our focus in this has become time. It is also the focus of Earth. Earth is no more for us. Let's plan for the future, please.
I will plan for the future while exploring to gain more for all individuals concerned.
Sounds good. Now, where's that insufferable dentist? I really need this molar looked at. Would have thought the scribe's passage would have cleaned it up.
Usually it does. Let Doc Morden take a look.
I'll wait for the dentist. Nothing personal, Doc. By the way, your quarter assignments are fixed. Here you go. I believe, as a scribe, I am third in command on this station. I'll place my digs next to yours, Colonel Landon.
Okay. Call me Colonel or Sky. Even though I'm second in command here, I don't stand on all that protocol unless it's necessary. I'm pretty easy to get along with until you catch my ire.
Done. What's next, folks? I'm ready for a drink. Who's with me? And where's the bar in this station?
Don waits for Trask to lead the way to the mesh deck, as it's called up in space. Let's head back to Earth and find out what's been going on.
Do you know where Lars Olsen is? We really need them to get a hold of Two Feathers and Jean Binos.
I believe they are already there. You should be able to radio them. You do have full communications there in South America. Can you contact Tony Holmperm? They have the capability to radio everyone there.
That's just it. The comm fields are still down. That's why I'm asking you to reach them. Oh, this is ridiculous. Talking to an AI is like talking to a wall.
You don't have to be so rude about things. I'm just reporting what has been left in the databanks from Freehold 3. Tad Johnson received a communique just this morning from Lars. Odd that you can't reach them.
I apologize for being so curt with you. This has been an extremely trying week. Do you have the ability to reach Lars with a message for me?
Indeed. The message will be passed along through the lines to them. Go ahead. I'm ready to transmit.
Gates relayed his message to the professor. Because of the sensitive nature of the message, I cannot inform you what it says. I can tell you that it is vitally important for Lars to receive it, though. More on that subject later. I want to finish listening to the conversation.
One other thing. Has there been any casualty lists come through the channels?
There has. I am sending it to your tablet now. There. You should have it by now.
As Gates starts to read the list, he shakes his head. He lets the view screen go dead on his end. The professor is perplexed by his actions. We are interrupted by a news bulletin from Tony Holmperm. This is not good.
This is Tony Holmperm with an emergency broadcast. Tad Johnson has sent to me a missing in action and casualty list. I will start with the missing in action first. From Freehold 3, Lee O'Leary, James O'Brien. From Jed Johnson Colony, Sinana Forrester, James Anthony, Kessa Forrester, Renee Gretchen's daughter, Tara Binos. Also from Freehold 3, Charlie. Please take note that Charlie had transformed into his namesake, Ephraim Cohn. When Don Wilson and his team made him into an android, they did not know that he would alter into his new personality like this. I hope he comes back online soon. I know I miss hearing him. Here is the casualty list. Chief Red Shoes, Kaylee Forrester, Regulus Clarkson, Manny Victoria. These were the folks that were in the same area doing surveys of the landed people when the eruptions took place. Please keep their families in your thoughts and prayers. Again, this is Tony Holmperm with an emergency broadcast. Tad Johnson has sent to me...